VentureCast.
It sounds nothing like them at all, but if you didn't give us a Midnight Oil song, you suck. So I'm going to guess Midnight Oil.
I did not give you a Midnight Oil song.
You suck. You suck. You have to give us some putts. You have to give us some gimmies.
First of all, you won. So
I know, but I'm still mad. I'm still sucked.
It was the Jonas Brothers singing about a girl from Australia.
I've never heard the Jonas Brothers, and that was pretty good.
All right. See, you're coming around.
Check them out. Nice. I hear they're quite popular with the kids. Is that still the case?
50 years of music with 50-year-old white guys.
Fellas, how are you? What is that? Is that a koala bear over there?
Oh, no.
Nah, it's a wallaby.
We are in Australia here on the 50 Years of Music with 50-year-old White Guys podcast on the Electricast podcast network. Jeff Simons, you're in Berkeley, correct?
I am indeed in the Berkeley shed.
Okay, and Ben Barn, you're in Knoxville.
So I usually do this at work. Today I'm in my beautiful kitchen with my lovely dog Romeo. I'm feeling much more homey. I've got a good vibe this week. I feel good.
So you're one of those families who just goes for it with the refrigerator.
I'm in charge of the pictures and I rotate them every year. So many pictures. I love it.
I mean, there's 100 pictures on your refrigerator.
Oh, yeah, you can't see the fridge at all for the picture.
It's actually quite lovely.
Okay.
Good. But for those of you wondering at home, Tim's basement is still gloriously basement-esque. He has done literally nothing in the 2.5 years of payment from this podcast.
Yeah.
One thing I can say, this is a note to people who are into refrigerator pictures. If you choose the pictures, at least I look good in them. You know what I mean? There's not a bad picture of me in our kitchen, and it's pretty sweet.
Very smart move. Well, we are on a musical road trip here in season 3. And our second stop is the continent of Australia. And we are so excited to do a deep dive into Australia's musical history. And after our varied opinions, we'll get an expert in the room, Emma Swift, who'll be our artist in residence. Brilliant singer-songwriter Emma Swift, coming up with her interview at the end of our pod. Before we get there, Jeff Simons, the Electricast Network put out a playlist, correct?
They did, in fact. And our little theme song, which is actually a song called Tiny Steps by the band Waffle Barrel, of which I am a humble member, is featured. It's called Pod Till You Drop, Volume 1, Electricast Podcast Theme Songs. So, and it's pretty cool.
The podcasts are generating music. That's fascinating. And good friend.
Fascinating is the right word, but I'm psyched that this, you know, it's appearing in at least one other spot, which is
good,
pretty great.
Good friend of the podcast, Nina, has a song on there called, woo-hoo, of all things, Asheville.
I know. I couldn't believe the energy.
So. What's that, Ben?
I think it's Asheville Girl.
Asheville Girl?
Yeah.
Well, it's a winner. So
it's,
you got
it. The solo check. Piano version is really lovely.
Oh, yeah. The one in the church. Yeah, so check it out on Spotify playlist from Electricast, Pod Till You Drop. But that's not why we're here today. We are here to talk about Australia. Jeff, have you ever been to Australia?
No, I have not. I haven't even been near it, to be honest.
Ben, have you ever been to Australia?
I have been to Australia twice, Timmy. What? Thank you for asking. Oh, yeah, my friend.
How old? What ages?
So do you want me to give you the story now?
Yeah, give me the story.
I'll just turn my microphone off for the next 8 minutes. I'll see you guys.
A three-part story.
What?
So in 1963, my mom and my dad, who aren't even dating and are really barely friends, they're kind of frenemies in college.
Okay.
My mom applies to a year-long program in India to study in the country of India in 1963. My dad's like, well, that sounds like a good idea. He signs on too. They both head over to the subcontinent of India.
Okay.
My mom briefly falls in love with a Dutch expatriate who's hanging out in in India, like just getting high and being a loudmouth. And he's like, come with me. I'm going to Australia to become a crop duster. Wow. And my mom is like, that's actually a pretty good offer. Like, I'm going to think, she thought hard about moving to Australia with this guy, Hank, to become where he's going to become a crop duster.
Hank, the Dutch, Hank is this guy's name?
Hank Ebes, E-B-E-S.
And you're sure this is not your father?
He heads off to, right, well, 63, so I've got a good feeling about it. He heads off to Australia. They break up. My mom and my dad start dating. They get married. My mom and Hank Ebes stay in touch for years.
Uh-oh.
And I'll just be frank. I know my dad listens, but I think she might have been keeping her options open. Like, I think she's keeping Hank Ebes on the down low. Awesome. Hank gets, Hank is is an actual crop duster. And then he takes his money and he buys antique prints. And he's got this antique print shop in downtown Melbourne. And he and my mom stay in touch. And he's got two daughters, my age and my brother's age. Ninth grade, my mom and him cook up this plan. His daughter comes to visit here for a couple of months. I went over there to visit. So I spent Christmas of ninth grade in Melbourne.
That's
which,
perfect.
By the way, I can't recommend highly enough. It was like, it was super weird. I was very rattled, but it was Christmas by the pool. It was like 90, 85, gorgeous and sunny every day.
Well, I know that ninth grade is when you're at your most personally comfortable. So that must have been an easy little trip for you.
Oh, dude, you should have seen me in my bathing suit. I looked amazing. So summer between my senior year in college, I go over much longer. I go over for 2.5 months. And of course, then it's winter there. Oh. And at this point, Hank's having a big auction. And so he's got, I can't remember the name of the dude, but it's like the guy who did the prints from John Cook's Journey of all the weird animals.
Okay.
He created a book, and there's these original prints of the book. And so I'm framing them. I'm working as a framer in his gallery. So I'm up on the second floor, and it's a legit actual hard job, like I'm making it. And the girls who are my age are in high school, like they're busy. So I'm like working 40 hours a week. And I had this really vivid memory. The drinking age there was 18. So I would leave and Hank would stay because he was like working and selling stuff. And I would go to a pub in downtown Melbourne. And like, I had like the trench coat. Like I was really working it hard. And I'd get the International Herald Tribune and I'd get a beer and I'd sit down and read it. And literally, like, you'll love this, or maybe you won't. The first week or two I did it, I was like, now this is kind of badass. Look at this. Look at me being a grown-up. I read the paper. I drink a beer. Like, the sixth time I went, I was like, is this it? Like, this is what being a grown-up is? Like, there's nothing fun here. It's not like a party in high school. Like, you just drink a beer and read your paper, and then you go home sad on the trolley.
That's amazing. Yeah. It's like pre-Beatles England. That was you.
I was completely living it. And yeah, we traveled all over the country. So I've been to, I mean, it's a gigantic, beautiful, spectacular, completely empty country.
Like, yeah.
There's just nothing there. There's a huge gargantuan desert in the middle. We went and checked that out. We went to the various different coasts and stuff. Absolutely spectacular. Loved it. It's a party continent.
But
like they're out there, they're here to get down in Australia. And so I have a huge, gargantuan, massive soft spot for it. Really, really comfortable.
Yeah, I love the way they do vacations where they're like, I'll see you in a couple of years. I'm going everywhere. You know, every time I meet somebody from Australia, I'm like, well, how long have you been on vacation? I'm like, about 15 months. You know, yeah. I started in Papua New Guinea and then I went up to Asia and I came across and down into. I mean, it's amazing. By the time they get to wherever I am, they've already amassed like a lifetime's worth of memories.
Oh, dude, I was totally thinking about this because I was like, every Australian I've ever met, especially outside Australia, has been super pleasant.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's a small sample size. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the people who make it over to wherever I am are really world travelers.
That's true.
I promise you, there's some dickheads in Australia. They just probably stay in Australia.
Well, now I want to go to Australia. I don't know about wearing a trench coat because it is everything I've read is it's this huge party scene and somehow you got the quiet Herald Tribune pub. I'm not sure.
I mean, I walked down the street from the fancy gallery that I worked at into the nearest pub. So it was mostly business people. Oh, I forgot to say Then the dude got into Aboriginal art, and he's now like even wealthy. He's a really, really wealthy man. He's one of the 10 most famous people in Aboriginal art in the world.
Go Hank.
Wow. Yeah, totally.
Wow. Insane. That's amazing. Well, we are then going to play our arrival song, Jeff. This is the song that you and I will play in our headphones as we touch down in Sydney or Brisbane.
Wait, where am I?
Yeah, yeah, no,
you're coming too.
Ben doesn't get to come.
I mean, you're there.
Oh, I'm picking you up at the airport? All right.
That's right.
Nice.
Traveling in a fighter combi on a hippie trailhead full of zombies. I met a strange lady, she made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. And she said, do you come from a land down under? A women glow and men blunder. Can't you hear the thunder? You gotta run, you gotta take cover.
I figure that has to be our arrival song, right? Because that was the song when we were in high school, where we're like, oh, that's Australia.
First of all, Timmy, you gave us a 14 song quiz and you wouldn't help us out with that. Like, that's an actual song that mentions Australia, I know, and you have to take that away from us.
I know, I was going to say, we start with we get a plus one handicap right out of the box.
I am so curious.
You have to count us as scoring that one.
I am so curious as to how you'll do. And
it's going to be a disaster.
It's going to be an absolute train wreck if you take Men at Work out of the equation.
We've got 14 songs coming up, and you guys have to name 10, and you're going to work together, and I believe in you, but someone's going to have to strike gold. I think there are 9 easy ones and 5 hard ones.
You're out of your mind.
By the way,
you know, I opened for Colin Hay twice playing with Megan, and he is the sweetest dude ever. And in fact, I have a really good friend here who has been in 2 different weddings with him where like he's also a guest, and he's apparently just a sweetheart when he's not playing a show as well. So
that is so great. Good to hear.
Good on you, Colin Hay.
So you guys have a choice. These were the worst arrival songs: Olivia Newton-John's Physical.
That's bad.
Anything by Air Supply or Anything by The Wiggles.
Oh, the Wiggles are Australian?
Oh, yeah.
They are.
That's the last choice for sure.
They're one of Australia's most successful.
They really are. They're like
musical
out of control sales. Yeah, I think I'd rather hear either of those other grown-up acts than the Wiggles.
I mean, if you get Let's Get Physical, you at least imagine the video. I'll just leave it at that.
Oh boy.
Oh, Olivia Newton-John.
First of all, I get an oh boy from you, Jeff.
I remember there's more shirtless men, like incredibly ripped men, making you feel inadequate than there are like exciting shots of Olivia Newton-John in that video.
That was a weird video. Then you have the fat guys out of shape, and then they turn into hunky. Yeah, that was, I didn't understand.
Yeah, there's some shaming going on in that video, which isn't cool. It's like if Richard Simmons directed a music video, the Physical video.
Yeah, it took all my willpower not to choose Hopelessly Devoted to You as my song for this particular podcast. But we need to move on to the compilation contest. I have chosen 14 fragments of songs. You all are going to identify as many artists as possible, working in conjunction with each other. And I felt it worked well last week. I felt the two of you bonded over that particular.
I felt close to
Ben. Dude, it was super fun. That was amazing. I love this kind of dumb quiz. It's really my favorite.
I love this one. All right, here we go. This is Australia, the compilation.
Everybody ready?
Pens ready.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia.
Right back to Australia.
To India, Australia.
In Australia.
And no matter how far or how wide I roam, I still call Australia home.
And in the when the gang comes down here again, and they're folded up Australia, and they call each other names.
Yeah, I'm sending their letter to the sister in Australia.
Even out in Australia, the kangaroos lay off butter fat.
There's kangaroos with bad news.
Australia.
And he found Australia's sunny shores and called it his true home.
Even in New Zealand's gunpowder, Australia's gunpowder.
Jesus. Okay.
Woo. All right. Do you need to hear it again? We did it twice last week.
Yeah, I need to hear it again.
We got no complaints.
We just do it? We want to do what we have?
Why? Do you think you have 10? I don't have 10.
Oh, no way.
Let's listen to it. Let's listen to it one more time offline. Like, let's not put people through it. And then... why don't we take our first commercial break, and then when we come back, we'll have our answers. How's that?
Okay,
sound?
If people want to listen to it
I like your style, Jeff.
They can rewind because it's a podcast. They can pause anytime out on their run and whatnot. Yep. All right, first ad break now.
Are you guys ready? Here it comes again.
Yep.
Okay, Tokyo, South America,
Australia. Bright back to Australia.
Got that one. I've got that one.
Australia to come
on. In Australia.
I got that one.
No matter how far or how wide I roam, I still call Australia home.
And in the when the gang comes down here again.
Even out in Australia, the kangaroos lay off butter fat.
There's kangaroos with bad news in Australia. And he found Australia's sunny shores and called it his true home.
Even in New Zealand's gunpowder, Australia's gunpowder.
God. Okay, we are back, and they are perplexed. So I count 8 gimmies, one that you kind of should get, and then I think there are 5 really tough ones. So you're going to have to really work together. Jeff, who's the first artist?
It's David Bowie and Mick Jagger's Dancing in the Streets.
I had that one, totally.
Excellent. Ben Barton, who's the second?
Pogues.
Excellent.
Waltzing Matilda.
The Pogues, great song. Jeff, who's the third?
Australia by the Kinks.
Yes.
Great choice. Freaking great song.
I was not going to get that. That's a great call, Jeff.
It's actually, so they've got 3 different songs that mention Australia. I think that one is Victoria.
Yeah. No, and that one's Australia. Oh, man, I'm pretty sure that was Australia.
I'll
from the same record as Victoria.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
What do you got for number four, Ben Barton?
Is that Johnny Cash?
That's
Johnny
what I was Cash. Thinking. Yes! Four for four.
Four for four. Number five, you're not going to get.
It sounds like the Australian Willie Nelson, but I have no idea who.
Well,
the
I have the
is.
Australian Elton John.
Wherever I roam. That was rough. No idea.
We talked about his musical in the second season because the album was so popular, and neither of you had seen the musical.
Oh, is that Hugh Jackman?
It is Hugh Jackman. That is correct.
I'm counting that. Jeff, mark us down for that. We got that one. It took a hint, but I got Hugh Jackman.
All right, number six.
I'm not giving us that one. Yeah, I feel like I should know it though. Like it sounds like a song I know, and it's the like kind of up tempo new wavy one. And they boarded up
Ben,
Australia.
Any guesses for number six?
Nothing.
All right, okay. You were at five. That was the Waterboys.
Shit, I should have gotten that. I really should have just taken a guess.
It was something like Some of My Friends Are Trains or something like that. I can't remember the name.
Sure, right. I've heard it. Seven is the Stones.
All right, I had that one.
Eight, Ben Barton, who's eight?
I have Captain Kangaroo.
Oh, that's a neat guess, but no. Jeff Simons, what was your
No idea. Eight? No idea.
Oh, shoot. I counted that as a gimme. That was Bing Crosby.
No, that's not a gimme.
That's not a gimme, Tim.
Bing Crosby.
All right. Jeff Simons, number nine.
The Who Disguises. Oh, no. Postcard. Postcard.
Postcard
from,
is the name of the song.
Side. Yeah. Yeah.
Why the heck? What are those bubble sounds that start
no
coming
idea.
In?
The John Entwistle song, and he gets to do what he wants, and he does. I think they're supposed to be bouncing kangaroos.
So is he like
didgeridoos or some kind of like Australian sound?
Is he
effect.
Like the Ringo Starr of The Who or something? He gets a song every once
he gets
in a while?
A song, a record. Yeah. Okay. He's like the George Harrison of The Who, really. Ringo, okay. Like a song a decade. But
all right. Number 10, I feel is impossible.
No, I think I've got it, but I can't remember the name of the band. Ben, what's the name of the band that sings on the cover of Rolling Stone? Do you remember the name of that band?
Oh,
it's
no
what
idea.
They make fun of, the Dr. Teeth. Come on, Dr. Somebody and the Somebodies. Dr. Teeth and the Mayhem. It's, am I right?
Yeah.
Give me 2 seconds.
No, wait.
Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show.
It is
Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show.
Holy yes! shit, Jeff.
Yeah. That is insane that you got Dr. Hook. I couldn't even find that on Spotify.
No, I just recognized the dude's stupid voice.
Yeah. That is Dr. Hook's voice.
I've never heard that song before.
Wow. So
I am being carried here. There's an MVP performance and a defense performance.
Eight. You okay. might get number 11, Ben Barton.
I have another blank, but I have the Beach Boys. Is that the
one? No, I think the Fugees is before the Beach Boys. Or the other guy. What's the guy from the Fugees? Wyclef.
Wyclef Jean?
Yep.
I think it's Wyclef.
That is correct. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Oh, we're golden.
Oh, you won.
Because we got the Beach Boys is 12. And then is that Yaz or is it the other guy, the Every Time You Go Away guy? What's the name of that crooner?
It is Paul Young.
Paul Young.
Every Time You 13. Go Away. Singing I Was in Chains in Australia. And then finally, number 14.
No clue at all. I got to admit, I kind of liked it, which is going to embarrass me because I'm sure it's not a band I'm supposed to like, but I kind of like those 8 seconds.
Ben Barton, any guesses?
It sounds nothing like them at all, but if you didn't give us a Midnight Oil song, you suck. So I'm going to guess Midnight Oil.
I did not give you a Midnight Oil song.
You suck. You suck. You have to give us some putts. You have to give us some gimmies.
First of all, you won. So
I know, but I'm still mad. I'm still sad.
It was the Jonas Brothers singing about a girl from Australia.
I've never heard the Jonas Brothers, and that was pretty good.
All right. See, you're coming around.
All right, check them out. Nice. I hear they're quite popular with the kids. Is that still the case?
I think they're doing well. I think they're doing well. You know, I've never been to Australia, but when I lived in Marietta, Georgia, some Australians came to town and opened up a bakery. And I went and ate these baked goods all the time. Like I kind of lived there. I went and graded papers there. Do you know that Australians are the world's largest consumers of this per capita? What is the bakery item that Australians eat more than any other peoples of the world?
Fantastic question. I love it. I mean, it should be a donut or a cruller, but it's not. I'm going to say crumpet.
A crumpet is an excellent guess.
Oh, that's a good guess. But like, I'm trying to think of what you would have eaten.
That's a great thing.
Because you're picky. You're a picky gentleman. So it'd have to be pretty bland.
Well, I don't want to say that, but I will give you a hint, Jeff Simons.
Okay.
Between sugar and salt, I'm going with salt all the time.
Every time.
So a salty.
What is it? What's a salty baked
item at a bakery?
I don't know. I'm on the other
side.
It is.
The pretzel.
Meat pies.
Oh, my God. Awesome.
Australians eat, on average, over 12 meat pies per person per year.
That's outstanding.
Combined with like 17 other pastries like sausage rolls and party pies and things like that.
I'm all about that. I believe
you know why they call it a meat pie instead of a pork pie.
Why?
So they can put whatever meat they want.
Yeah, that's right.
Correct. Sometimes it's mouse. Sometimes it's squirrel. Sometimes it's rabbit.
It's like the McDonald's shake. It's not called a milkshake.
All we promised was meat.
That's it.
Don't ask any more questions.
Just the meat.
I'm all about it, though. You know what we call them in America, Tim, is Hot Pockets.
If you're ever in Marietta, Georgia, the Australian Bakery Cafe is still going strong. I moved out of there, in 2006? But I looked on their website and I actually wrote down some information because you can order meat pies and have them delivered throughout the country. All right, let's get to our favorite son or daughter song. Here is the most popular band from this location with their most popular song.
And I don't think this is their most popular song, but it's a great one.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll give you the Spotify numbers in just a second. Go ahead.
Oh, my apologies. Something kicks ass.
It's amazing to me how many albums must have sold. I think they've sold worldwide over 200 million albums. Think of the number of guys who had that tape, how many people bought the cassette. And so you would think that because of the age of the group and because so many people already have their music, that their Spotify numbers would be good, but
that is not how it works.
Got that completely backwards.
Yeah. Yeah. That is like people go on Spotify and like, what's that old tape I used to have? Repeat.
1.1 billion plays.
Yep. Billion. And
that song has more plays than You Shook Me All Night Long.
Yes.
Wow.
That's impressive. So I know that there are fewer than 100 songs with over a billion plays because my friend Jerry's band just grabbed one of those spots with Hey Soul Sister.
Nice.
Which was really? Their second because
Drops
of Jupiter is also, they have two of the 90 songs with over a billion plays on Spotify in one group.
And he's coming onto our podcast.
That is the plan. Yeah.
Well, he should be like high-fiving us and stuff. Like, wow.
Well, he should be buying us dinner is what he should be doing. I'll make that very clear to him.
All right. Fun facts about Australia. Let's go pick the closest to the pin contest. What is the population of Australia? Ben Barton, I'll have you go first.
Thank you.
25 million.
24,990,000.
25 million is the correct answer.
Oh my God, that's fantastic. Turn off the Wikipedia page, Ben. He's so cheating. He's laughing. He's got his
voice is so First of all, I'm not cheating because last week Timmy gave the wrong number for Pittsburgh. So I actually hit it right on the number, and Timmy was like, nah, it's 2.2 million. And I was like, but are you sure?
Because I'm looking at the answer and it says
who were you cheating last week too?
No, last week I was joking off the top of my head. And this week I didn't cheat exactly. I looked it up earlier in the day.
You know okay. What's great is they're bringing back Quiz Show as a theater piece starring Ben Barton. It's going to be great.
Jeff Simons, how many states does Australia have?
Oh my God, I have no idea. I mean, just none.
50?
Fewer than 50.
Just pick a number and we'll do over under.
8.
Oh, that's a really good guess. That's my actual guess. I guess I'll take 7.
Australia has 6 states.
Look at that. Well, way to go, Pete. Nicely done.
Well done. Fun fact, 44% of Australians identify as Christian. Which category is next at 39%? What do they identify as at 39%?
I will say, that's what I was going to guess. Non-religious or agnostic?
Non-religious at 39%.
Mm.
And finally, what two animals represent Australia on the country's coat of arms? I'll let you guys think about this together. And
for sure, there's
answer.
A kangaroo.
There's got to be a kangaroo.
A kangaroo on each side, I think.
It's a kangaroo on one side.
And something else on another?
Yep. Something else on the other.
Can I tell a funny Australia animal story?
Yeah, let's go.
Instead of making a bad guess, the funniest documentary I ever saw in my life, and Ben knows this, my senior year.
Oh, I was in this class. Oh, I know what you're going to say.
The greatest. I ended up a half credit short in science because they changed the credits of a course I took freshman year and made me add a science course. So I took like the most 100 level science for idiots course I could find.
Okay.
And we watched a documentary about how they're...
Hold on, it was called like infectious disease.
Infectious diseases and parasitic viruses. It was the name of the class. It was great. So we watched, we were watching a documentary about what happens when there's no predators or diseases to knock out a population of animals.
Okay.
But it's, so it starts in the north of England with these like 100-year-old guys at a pub talking about how many rabbits there were in the neighborhood.
No, in Australia, not in England.
No, it starts in England. And the English guy's like, everywhere you go, you trot on a rabbit. And then they grabbed like a dozen rabbits when this guy emigrated to Australia, brought like a dozen rabbits with him so he could shoot them.
Uh-huh.
20 years later, there are wild roving gangs of out of control rabbits. They have to build these control fences to try. And there's just footage, black and white footage of just like, hundreds of thousands of rabbits at full sprint, just bashing their brains out against these guardrail fences. And it's got that great, like, out of control buddies, like back, you know, like 1950s war reel newsreel.
It's like it looked dingoes. Like
it was actually believable that you could step on a rabbit. Like yeah. There would be so many rabbits, you would be like trotting upon them.
It was unbelievable. And of course, when it came to the, and I'm like soaking it all up, like this class is great. And of course we get to the quiz. It's like, what was the name of the professor in minute 7 that explained the phenomenon?
You don't remember the end of the story?
What is the end of the story?
The reason that I know it's called infectious diseases.
Oh yeah, because they
bring the rabbits over and basically Tim, the dingoes and the birds and all of the animals that would eat something were like, I don't know what the hell that is. And
yeah.
Just keep away from it. Like if you're an animal, you've never seen one of those animals, you're like, I don't know. I'm just going to eat my dingo. They're like completely overrunning everything. Yes. And the crop. So they go back to England and they get the rabbit disease and they bring a couple of sick rabbits and they throw them out.
Knock them all out.
And then, dude, it's like piles of dead rabbits.
Oh
like,
my God.
Keeping piles. And there's like they're burning the bodies. Yes, so many rabbits right. Like eat them. It's like a burning
rabbit
inferno fire. Of dead rabbits.
God. Oh God.
This is horrible.
It was horrible unless you were Jeff and me, in which case it was hilarious.
I was like crying. I was
everyone
laughing.
Else is paying careful attention and taking notes, and Jeff and I are in the back, like the two seniors who need this science credit are like howling. I was like, more like that. More like that.
No, it's definitely she asked for feedback in the middle. We were like, more dead rabbit documentaries.
Oh, the podcast has taken a turn.
It got dark. It was
dingo and kangaroo.
It was not. Team? There's a on the coat of
the
arms
bird or something, right? Isn't like
kangaroo
an emu?
And the emu.
Oh, that's
did
nice.
I get it?
Yes, you did.
I didn't cheat. I promise.
The emu. All right. Well, after that dead rabbit segment. Oh, actually, real quick, anything to tell me about the didgeridoo?
Other than the only people I know who play it are exceedingly annoying dudes who can't play an actual instrument, so they brought a didgeridoo home and pretend to make noise in it.
Jesus.
I've never heard a real didgeridoo player. I've only heard guys who like have bongos and like curtains from another country and a didgeridoo.
But isn't it like the oldest instrument of humankind?
It might be. It's played well. It sounds like the Giotto monks. It has like seven overtones at once. It's really quite something. But I've only ever heard it played well on recordings or on video. I've never heard it done well in person.
There was the there's a 1998 Page and Plant concert where they play Black Dog, and they got two didgeridoo guys in the background playing. I guess for depth, I'm not
sure.
That's
a pretty cool concert, actually. I have to say, I enjoyed that MTV concert.
Oh, I watched it. You know what? I'm going to go out on a limb here. Jimmy Page, pretty good guitar player.
Nothing but hot takes here on the podcast. Well done,
I was impressed with that young man.
Do you have didgeridoo experience, Ben?
No.
Okay.
All right.
You gave me a dirty look when I was making fun of it as like an instrument of choice for the annoying person. But is that just too culturally insensitive?
Yes.
I feel like it's one of the most commonly culturally appropriated instruments.
Oh, no. The drum. The
djembe.
Yeah.
Oh, I say djembe is number one, but didgeridoo's in the top five.
Okay, that's fair. All right. Well, let's get to our three songs or events or people or venues. Ben, do you go first this time?
Can't remember. I thought really hard about this. I really kind of tortured myself. But then I was like, you know, sometimes you just can't overthink it. So it's... I'll say this. It's a super fun continent. People there have a really, really good sense of humor about themselves. It is a former penal colony, which I reminded the people I stayed with regularly. I was like, I want to hear a lip from you. This is a former penal colony, to which the family would say, and you're an American, shut your gob, which nice. I totally appreciated. I was like, I will shut my gob. Good point. That being said, AC/DC, TNT with the oys. The oi, 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 Aussie, Aussie, Aussie. So good. So good. And of course, he's a wanted man. You know, I mean, it fits the vibe for Australia so perfect.
You want, I got to go with Jailbreak? I think you should go with Jailbreak.
No way. TNT is way better. TNT is a better song. And also the oys, just that absolutely nails it.
Here we go.
After this song is recorded, they move to England, and then they get to be a much bigger band, and they kind of sort of stop being an Australian band. Yeah. This is the last one that was released just in Australia, hit number 19 on the Australia pop charts, which makes me laugh really hard.
Yeah,
I wish
too.
I know at number 18, 16, and 17.
That's a great choice. That's
Can you guys break down for me who the first lead singer was, how he died, and then how they found someone so similar to the first singer?
You want to do it, Jeff? Go.
Bon Scott's the first singer, and he
there's actually another singer before that.
Yeah, there is.
Even AC/DC, where they're like the the evil page boys or whatever they were called.
Yeah. Well, the guys who just created AC/DC are a songwriter, a management team called Vanda and Young, and they're going to come up in a second when I do my Australian pick.
Okay.
And then Malcolm Young is and Angus Young are the cousins or brothers or something, nephews brothers, or something. Yeah. So Bon Scott's the first singer. He dies in a choking on his own vomit
in the back of a taxi in London.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like while touring Highway to Hell, and all the songs for Back in Black are written, and I think actually most of the backing tracks have already been done. And then I don't know how they find Brian Johnson, who's the replacement singer. But he comes in and in an impossible situation, like a new singer for a band that's right on the absolute edge of breaking. And the, I mean, it should have actually screwed him up because Bon Scott was really was an equal draw to Angus at that point. And it just went the other way. It just, and he's a weird dude. He's like a little weird dude. And he wore that cap over his head and he's not like a particularly traditional lead singer. And, It just worked incredibly well.
How long did it take them to find Brian Johnson?
Like, my recollection is they did like an open, like they took auditions.
And wow. It took like a month, like nothing. Like, cause they had to get it's Highway to Hell comes out. He dies in 1979 and Back in Black is out in 1980.
Yeah.
So they got to find the guy, record the tracks, get him to learn all the old AC/DC songs and get on tour in like 4 months or something like that. It's pretty crazy.
The other thing I love about TNT is it's one of the continuing series of energy songs by them, which every time I hear one, it just makes me laugh so hard. They're like, TNT, why wouldn't we put TNT and High Voltage on the same album?
You're right.
Just like running through it.
Oh my so God. Good. I had never put that together, but like they're the electricity band.
AC/DC.
Well, no, but TNT, they were like, we're going to branch out a little. Sometimes we do explosives, not just electricity.
That is so funny.
That is great. Oh my God. Excellent pick. Can't go wrong if you pick AC/DC. Jeff Simons, what do you got?
All right, so I went a little obscure. You're going to know two of these songs probably, dear listeners, or maybe you won't, I don't know. And then there's one really obscure one. But we've talked about the big bands from this place that we love, like AC/DC. I love Midnight Oil. I'm not going to bother you with Midnight Oil trivia again. The other thing Australia is great for are hit singles. There's a whole bunch of bands that made one-off, just straight down the middle, home run, three-minute hit singles. So I picked up my favorite Aussie one-off hit single from each decade, the 60s, 70s, 80s. So the first one is a song you've probably heard. It's been on a lot of soundtracks. It was a big hit in the day. This is a Vanda and Young production. So this is where they got the money to bankroll AC/DC down the road. This is the Easy Beats and a song called Friday on My Mind.
Monday morning feels so bad. Everybody seems to nag me. Coming Tuesday, I feel better.
I could have sworn those were the Monkees. My whole life, I thought those were the Monkees.
Yeah, it's not. Well, you know, it's not the Monkees because it's so impossibly complicated. There's 47 chords in that 60
seconds. Come on, really?
It's unforgivably difficult to play. I had to teach it to the Rock Band a couple years ago. And after like an hour, they were like, what are you? I mean, this song is impossible. So that's great. The second band is the Saints. The Saints are most famous for a one-off hit they had on their first record called I'm Stranded. But they made a record in Australia that was a hit that did absolutely nothing in America that is the missing link between new wave and REM. Like, you know how REM comes out with that kind of jangly Radio Free Europe sound in 1983, and it sounded like it kind of came out of nowhere because everything else had been so chordal and chunk. This is the record that's the, when I heard this for the first time, and I didn't hear this record until 25 years after it came out, I was like, wow, this is like the great lost missing new wave record that explains where REM came from. This is the Saints. This is a song called Miss Wonderful from a lost great record called The Monkey Puzzle. And so here's great single number two from Australia. Super fun song. Super
Who-ish. What's the name of that band? The Saints?
The Saints, yeah. And then last pick is the Hoodoo Gurus, who you may have remember from the 80s. Tim loves I knew Tim would love the Hoodoo Gurus. This might be too Beatle-y for Ben, but I just think it's a great 3-minute pop song. It's called I Want You Back. And it's just like a perfect 2 minutes, 45 seconds. And they're dinosaurs on the cover of the album, which I really like.
I can still recall the time she said she was always mine, and she lived as people do and forget what we've been through. It's not that she's gone away.
There you go. Three great poppy singles from one great continent.
It's like I went to the Australian bakery and I saw like the choices laid out before me of meat pies.
Mouse, squirrel, and anonymous meat pie all in one sitting.
No, it's like steak and cheese, steak and bacon. Come on.
By the way, Jeff, we chose great Australian one-offs, and one of them was not the Divinals. I touched myself.
I know. I thought about it.
You owe me an apology, and I'll take it in writing.
Yeah, fair enough. I do love that one a lot. I love that song a lot. And it was like, it was a last minute cut. I went with the Hoodoo Gurus instead. But that song is so funny. At the end when she goes, so great.
Talk about a song that made young Tim Plaine uncomfortable. Like, yeah. Whoa.
Tim was like, I have several questions and they're all redacted.
So we haven't mentioned one band, and I'd love to hear your thoughts, because I thought all week about picking these guys. And then over the last few days, I've been re-listening to some songs, and it's funny how they just don't carry for me. And that band is NXS.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the Little River Band. Friday night at the dance, I was dreaming of the
oh,
night.
Oh God, I love that song. Is that Little River Man?
Yeah, I'm reminiscing. Yeah.
I want to know what you guys thought of NXS in the 80s when you're in high school and college, and what your thoughts are now about NXS.
Oh, good question. Because
they were huge.
Yeah, go Ben, go. You go first.
I still have a huge, gigantic soft spot for Suicide Blonde. That's the one that still carries for me.
Okay.
I'll Never Tear Us Apart, whatever that song's called, is pretty good. It's one of those classic ones where the guy died, and so they're a little bit overrated. They're a little bit like Heath Ledger's body of work, in my opinion. But they have, like, the Suicide Blonde, that was on my list of ones to consider for this continent. Like, I love that one.
Okay.
I find myself, the NXS songs I love, I really, really love, and I find their mid-range stuff really, really forgettable. They have a song called This Time.
Yes.
A record called Listen Like Thieves, and I love it. I just love that song.
This time will be the last time.
Yeah, and I never like turn, this. When New Sensation or What You Need or The One Thing or Don't Change ever come on the radio, I never change the channel. But the next tier down just does nothing for me. Like, Need You Tonight is super forgettable for me. I'm with Ben, oh, yeah. Like, Never Tear Us Apart, 50-50. Like, and I, it's not a deep cut band for me at all. Like, they made four records before they made a record with a hit on it. And, you know, sometimes you find a whole bunch of cool gems buried in those records.
And you don't.
Not one. Now, it's not an NXS song I like before Don't Change.
Because they were and together like in like
40
the late,
of them.
Yeah. They were together in the late 70s, even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I feel like history remembers NXS just right about where they should be remembered.
Those
hit singles were huge. Like 85 to 88, they were a really big deal.
I saw them in concert a bunch of times. I was very much into NXS, and it's not translating. But I'll tell you, there's one song that sticks with me, and I got to set the stage for you guys. In high school, you might not know this, but I didn't own a lot of records. And a lot of my music was just picked up from the radio. And I may have even like gotten up on a desk in my high school English class to impersonate George Michael. Like I was a big Faith guy. You know who was a little dark though and complicated was the Church. And I still grabbed
the band or the institution. Where's this going?
That was my problem. I was like, oh, this band, this will be healthy for me. I'll buy the Church. They were kind of cool, much cooler than kind of my pop sensibilities. And yet this is a song that to this day I will ride or die for. It Under the Milky Way, Jeff Simons.
Sometimes when this place gets kind of empty, sound of their breath fades with the light. I think about the loveless fascination under the Milky Way tonight. Lower the curtain down, lower the curtain down, alright. I got no time for private consultation under the Milky Way tonight. Wish I knew what you were looking for. Might have known what you would find.
That's a great pick.
When you're teaching and you're coaching and you're hosting a podcast, you don't have time for private consultations either. You know?
But the thing that cracks me up so hard about this song, you know how the second verse is he's cross-sticking the snare. He has that rim shot instead of the full snare. when you listen to it, you'll never be able to hear it again. The bass player is angry about it. And he's like, I am going to play through this section as if we are at full blast. So you've got that like, do, do, do. And the bass is like, do, 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 do. He's overplaying so hard through the second verse. I can just hear the band argument. Like, it should drive there. We should not wait until the pre-chorus to bring in the snare drum. No. And the bass player's like, well, I'm bringing in the bass. Like, it's just so, so funny.
He's trying to stick it to the drummer.
Oh, no. Yeah, I think so. Or just whoever, the producer who arranged it, probably. I mean, that feels like a song where somebody who knows how to put a record together was like, you're going to start quiet. Then we're going to add some stuff. Then we're going to add some more stuff. I love that song. There's two church songs I like even better, Tim.
Oh, the Reptile?
Reptile, but Unguarded Moment from their first record is my favorite. That song is just, if you haven't heard The Unguarded Moment by The Church, you're in for a treat. It's just awesome.
Can we get 30 seconds? I mean, what are we doing here? If not to educate people about Australia.
I suppose that's right.
Hard finding inspiration. I knew you'd find me crying. Tell those girls with rifles for mines that their jokes don't make me laugh. They only make me feel like dying.
I was a very sensitive young man. I really liked that one.
I tell you, I got to listen to more church in my life. That's good stuff.
Are you anti this band, Ben, or are you all right with them?
No, dude, that song, first of all, I fucking love that song.
Yeah.
I was a mainstay on the senior and college mixtape. The ladies loved it.
Yeah.
Great makeout song.
That's correct. Oh, wow. This is what we do here.
I'm going to try that tonight. I'm going to go in humming Under the Milky Way and see what happens. Thanks for the tip.
And definitely come in with a, I wish I knew what you were looking for.
I'll do my best.
Great.
We give makeout advice and warn you off about meat pies. This is what we do. It's part of our service here on the podcast. All right. So we're final word in Australia. Like, do we feel bad that we didn't get to, I didn't really get to Wolf Mother.
No, I'm all right with that. Ben and I saw Wolf Mother together. They were a little underwhelming.
Okay. I don't know anything about the John Butler Trio. Any good?
I toured for 3 weeks with the John Butler Trio.
Okay.
The Rich Band opened for the John Butler Trio from Colorado down into New Mexico, Arizona, and all the way up California.
Okay. And then Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds. Good songs, bad songs. What do you think?
I've never been a huge Nick Cave guy. But I totally understand the appeal. Ben might be more of a Nick Cave guy than I am.
No, I don't like Nick Cave. Dude, the critics love Nick Cave. And so yep. I've bought, I don't know, 6 Nick Cave records. Each one I'm like, what?
Yeah. It's like if Tom Waits were trying to act like a vampire. That's what Nick Cave sounds like to me. Like if he was entertaining.
Right.
If like Tom Waits had to do a set in Transylvania and like whipped up a couple of tunes for that, that's what Nick Cave sounds like to me.
All right. Well, gentlemen, this has been a lovely little vacation for us in Australia.
We got to book our tickets, man. Where are we going next week?
Yeah.
Well, we got to book our tickets because we're going to New York City, the Big Apple.
Oh, boy.
I'm so excited.
Throwing out a big one.
By the way, I like how you're building this. We went from a little tiny town in Pennsylvania, and then we covered an entire continent, like as if they're the same thing. Like as if Pittsburgh and the continent of Australia.
That is correct.
And then we're just going to leapfrog that right to New York. Do it, Timmy.
Let's go. And I believe there are 5 boroughs, Ben Barton. Is that correct?
That is accurate for sure. I don't want to talk about Staten Island, but I'm going to have a lot of thoughts on the other 4 boroughs.
I got dibs on the Welcome Back, Cotter theme song for whatever borough that is.
Oh, my God. I love that song. Such a great song.
Obviously, Brooklyn, you're canceled. You're not allowed to talk on this. If you don't know Welcome Back, Cotter, the beginning of the show has the Welcome to Brooklyn song.
I'm just giving you a hard time. I can't wait to like
get a heart attack.
Deliberately wrong about New York City in the next episode and watch Ben's hair catch on fire.
All right. Well, we will see you all in New York City. Peace.
Peace.
All right.
Oh my gosh, this is so exciting. Emma Swift is here as our Australian artist in residence. Emma, singer, songwriter, artist, apparently record producer and record company. How are you?
I'm really well. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm sorry neither Jeff nor Ben can make it. So they're just going to have to listen to this part of the podcast later on. But thanks for representing Australia. Do you feel a lot of pressure?
I do feel a significant amount of pressure, especially as I'm a kind of, I mean, as far as Australians go, I'm a fairly geographically scrambled one.
Right.
Well, you know, born in Sydney and then raised in regional Australia in lots of small country towns, and then moved to America. And so now I have a kind of twang in my accent from having lived in Nashville. But then I'm also married to a British person and have found myself spending quite a bit of time in London. So I'm a very, I'm a koala with a very stamped up passport.
Right. Moving all over the place. So wait, you were in little country towns in Australia, like where folk music was big and things like that? Country?
I don't know if folk or country was necessarily any bigger than rock or pop in Australia. I mean, I think that's probably more of a romantic idea about how country folk are than the actual truth of the matter. But that was certainly the reality of my upbringing. I was born in Sydney, in the metropolis. And then when I was very, very small, my parents started traveling around and they were school teachers. And so we lived in lots of really tiny towns across New South Wales and Victoria. Like I'm talking places with population of 1,000, 2,000 people.
My son wanted me to ask, I said, I've got Emma Swift coming on and she's a singer from Australia. He's like, ask her about spiders. Somehow he's got it in his head that Australia is just filled with spiders.
Well, Australia is filled with all kinds of creepy crawlies and magnificent animals. And it's a really beautiful place, but it's also a very scary place when you get into the nature of it.
Yeah.
You know, we have the big hairy huntsman spiders, which They look terrifying.
Right.
They look like Halloween decorations, but they're reasonably harmless.
Oh, okay. Well, that's
good. It's the little guys you got to be scared of. It's the redback spiders.
Oh, gosh.
Which are tiny and very poisonous.
Well, I think if I ever make it to Australia, I think I will stick with the big cities because this is a music podcast after all. And you are going to tell us, you're going to give us the lowdown. Which has the best music scene? Which Australian city?
Well, I mean, it's funny that you ask about that because as I was saying, growing up in the country, like when I was a kid and a teenager, like all of my ideas about the scenes was totally wild and imaginary. It was all completely born out of the people that I idolized. And so scenes like all places, they kind of shapeshift over time.
Right.
So, you know, when I was a teenager, I grew up in this town called Wagga Wagga. And it is equidistant in a car between Sydney and Melbourne.
Okay.
Which are the places that I think a lot of people traditionally think of as having the big Australian music scenes.
Okay.
And certainly they did in the 80s and the 90s. But this is like pure history for me and pure projection.
Right.
Because, I mean, you think about some of the most legendary bands from Australia and they weren't from either of those places. And much like in America, people travel to those towns to make it. They're not really from those places. Yeah. But I moved to Sydney. And one of the reasons that I moved to Sydney was I was completely infatuated with an Australian band called UMI.
UMI. And
I think
they had an album called Hourly Daily, which in many ways is a love letter to Sydney, at least it is to my ears. And some of the songs are just so romantic and beautiful, and they're really mythologizing gritty, grimy Sydney suburbs in a way that you might think of Willie Nelson romanticizing Texas,
right,
or Frank Sinatra, or Bob Dylan romanticizing New York. Mm. And so it was the way that Tim Rogers sang about the inner west of Sydney that made me think that that was a place that I wanted to be. I kind of fell in love with the place from a distance. And then I had to move there to go to college and investigate it.
Right. And was it everything you dreamed of?
Absolutely. Yeah. It was wild,
awesome,
magnificent, beautiful. I mean, I moved to Sydney in the year 2000.
Okay.
Which was an extraordinary time to be in that city because it was undergoing massive change in that the Olympics were taking place in Sydney that year.
Oh my goodness, what a time.
And so the eyes of the world were on the city. But it had this beautiful mix of glitz and glamour that was very appealing, and a wonderfully thriving music scene that was really cool. And I basically lived between two pubs that played live music and a couple of nightclubs where we'd go and rage afterwards.
And
because Sydney is one of those cities, much like New York or LA, that has undergone so much gentrification and change over the past 20 years, neither of those pubs exist anymore. There's still scenes in the city, but they're not taking place in the places I used to go.
Well, what was, give me a name of one of those pubs where you'd see live music so we can honor them.
Oh, I mean, the Hopetoun Hotel was fantastic. And it's now a boarded up pub in Surrey Hills, just on the cusp of the CBD. And the Annandale Hotel was another one. And they're just really fantastically cool places. And I mean, to listeners who don't know of UMI, the band that immediately sort of lured me there in a way, Tim Rogers, the frontman, is very charismatic and lanky and kind of like a cross between Hank Williams but also Iggy Pop and the British poet John Cooper Clarke.
What a mix.
So he's a romantic, but he's also a real rock and roller, and it was very intoxicating, that music, for me at that time.
Oh, that's so great. I mean, you're hitting on so many themes of our podcast because we are both steeped in history and bring a lot of projection into our lives. And like these pubs, we were once cool and now we're facing the end of our road.
I don't know if I've ever been cool. I mean, I was always a massive nerd, you know, part of the reason I moved to Sydney was not just because I was enamored with a particular type of music that was being made there, but also to do an English literature degree at Sydney University.
There you go. All right.
Which was a place that I knew very little about as a university, except that it looked like it was from the pages of Oxbridge magazine. It was sandstone and glorious. Yeah. And there was a magnificent jacaranda tree in the front yard.
Yeah.
So, you know, all absolutely all projection, but also very nerdy.
Well, I told my daughter Martha as we looked at colleges last year, I'm like, you need to walk around and just picture yourself reading Shakespeare. Can you read Shakespeare under that tree? Can you read Shakespeare by that building? And you can't picture it. You know, don't go there. What age did you leave Australia? And I'm wondering, with your music career and your own artistry, how has Australia kind of left its mark on you, and how does it inform your approach to music?
I think a lot of Australians leave Australia. I think it's very similar to the Canadian music story. If you think about Joni Mitchell and Leonard Cohen and Neil Young all going to California, Australian bands went to London So Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds went to Berlin and London, and Kylie Minogue, you know, one of the most famous and well-regarded Australian pop stars, who was also, you know, my first favorite singer, Kylie Minogue, when I was 5 years old. And she moved to London. It's quite common rite of passage to get off the island and try somewhere else. And so I was 30, though, so quite old.
Really.
I mean, obviously, I wasn't leaving to become a pop star. I was leaving because I was completely infatuated with Dolly Parton and Tammy Wynette.
I love it.
So, again, you know, I totally had this fantasy about Nashville and moving to Nashville and what that might be like. And so I did that.
Who introduced you to Tammy Wynette? Like, did you come upon her by yourself, or was there someone in your life who?
I really liked, I mean, what I would say about the Australian music scene and generally the music scene in the 90s, which is when I was coming up, is that it was pretty masculine. There were a lot of female voices, but it was very dominated by masculine voices. And I think when I first got into country music, part of the appeal of country music was these dominant, beautiful, successful female voices. And I had, I always really liked the 1960s as a fantasy era. You know, one of my other favorite singers is Marianne Faithfull. So that's walking down a completely different street to Tammy Wynette. But I had these romantic ideas about the 60s, and I got an Opry Classics DVD, and it had all of these old performances of country singers, and Tammy was one of them, Dolly, Connie Smith, Loretta Lynn. So I got into it in that way. So in a way, I kind of, I moved to Nashville in 2012, but what I really wanted to do was move to Nashville in 1965. So I was a little late, but.
That's awesome. I love how you kind of came to that on your own, of your own accord, looking for those female voices. And then, and now you've become one. It's so cool. All right. So I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I do want to hear what your favorite musical memory is from Australia. Now that could be like, you could be a performer performing in Australia. This could be when you were just a fan and going to clubs or going to see shows, or anything from your childhood. What, when someone says music in Australia, what great memory comes to mind for you?
I mean, the first most powerful memory that I have of music in Australia is being a teenager, and I had got a ticket to this rock and roll festival in Sydney. And so I got the bus up. My parents just let me go. It was the 90s. Kids were kind of allowed to just do stuff.
Go ahead.
So I was 15 and I went with two of my school friends, and I was in my purple corduroy pants and my silver Doc Martens. And off we went to this crazy festival called the Big Day Out. And just being... I'd never really seen live music in that context before. I mean, I'd seen people playing at school and I'd played music at school, but I'd never really been to a proper rock and roll
big show.
It's music festival. And it was really the first time in my life that I'd ever seen bands that I'd heard on the radio. And it was wild. Like, I got concussion in the UMI mosh pit. There are another of my favorite Australian bands called The Clouds. It was just really absolutely brilliant, fun time. And really, and I think after that, after being 15 and going to the Big Day Out, I went every kind of year afterwards until I was about 26. And it's, I mean, I guess it's kind of like the Lollapalooza of Australia.
Great bands.
Or the Bumbershoot, or, you know, there's a bunch of American festivals that I can think of that are like that. And it was a very iconic of its time experience that was really pretty, pretty special.
As we prepared for this Australia podcast, I've been going through the lineups each year, the big day out, and what a festival, what a show.
And especially because, you know, I mean, at that time it was the pre-internet days too. So it was a really different era for music, especially being a kid from the country where, you know, the world really did seem so very, very far away.
Yeah.
And if you wanted to hear a song, you either bought the album or you taped it off the radio.
That's
and
right.
If you wanted to see the band, there wasn't I couldn't just watch a YouTube clip or bring up a stream thing. It was like, oh, I've got to get a ticket to the concert, got to go. And it was, a very beautiful and nostalgic time in my heart now when I think of it.
Well, it's so
funny. I wouldn't dream of going to a festival now. I don't know about you, but I just feel way too
anxious. But at the time. Yeah, we've talked about that on the podcast of like the days of like searching out music, or you hear a song on the radio and the DJ doesn't say the name of the band, and then you have to try and figure out who the heck was that and where can you get them again and hear them. And the kids these days, they can just go right to their computer and hear everything. Well, awesome. Before we go though, you have an album called Blonde on the Tracks, and I picked that as my favorite album. Was that 2021 or 2020?
It came out just towards the end of 2020.
And it was my favorite album of the year. So we talked about it on the podcast, and I just want to thank you for all the work that you put into that and the thoughtfulness to approach that material that way. And I just thought, I still think it's an absolutely extraordinary album. And if folks out there haven't heard Blonde on the Tracks, Emma Swift is just going to make you a fan right from the get-go.
Oh, thank you so much. I mean, that record was just made with so much love and care and reverence for these Bob Dylan songs. Right. And, you know, talking to you about Australian music, I'm like, I really should do an Australian songwriter next. Would be great. What are your favorite Australian
bands? So I picked The Church. You know, mm-hmm. we're all children of the 80s. Ben went with AC/DC, and Jeff went with Hoodoo Gurus. So
fantastic.
We got to play their music and kind of relive some memories and just cherish Australian singers and bands. It was really a fun little podcast.
That's awesome. Well, they're all wonderful bands. I mean, you know, in Australia, we call AC/DC Akadaka.
Why do we do that?
Because Australians have to give everything a nickname. If you were an Aussie, I'd have to call you Timo. Ends.
That's awesome. Australians play with language. This is really great. Well, Emma, thank you so much for spending time with us. I hope things are going well in London. I hope you're going to get some sleep at some point today. And we get to see each other next year at some point.
I hope so.
Woohoo!
Fingers crossed.
All right, Emma. Really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Mark.
And I'm Peter.
We're the founders of Electrocast Media, bringing you great podcasts like Nightmare Road Stories, Tech Talk Revolution, and Bodacious Minds.
Electrocast networks include Ruby for female empowerment, the Best Business Network, and GPN for geopolitics. We built this company to create community and amplify diverse voices, and we really appreciate your support.
So, keep listening to Electrocast podcasts and hear the culture.
Electrocast. Miles, are you ready to record our promo for season 2 of the WannaBet podcast?
David, have you ever seen a grown man naked?
Miles, we're not here to quote lines from Airplane. We're here to tell people that season 2 starts August 18th.
But I like Airplane.
I know you do, but WannaBet is a sports betting podcast. Each week we bet $1,000 on the NFL teams and games that we love.
Well, that sounds like fun.
It is fun. And last year you picked over 60% of your games correctly.
How'd you do?
We're not talking about that. We are telling people that they can find us every Friday. So no more movie quotes.
Roger, roger.
Electrocast. Electrocast.